Welcome back. We are joined now by the Reverend Jamal Bryant, who has been out in the community a great deal and has led the demonstration yesterday that closed down 395 for a period, and joins us on the phone here for a few minutes. And Reverend Bryant, good to have you with us once again.
No, it's my honor. Thank you for having me.
So I appreciate you at last minute breaking out of your meeting just to talk to us and to the listeners here on WEAA. Talk about the organization of and the demonstration that took place tomorrow morning from your perspective on the inside. What happened? Why were you there?
On yesterday morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you said tomorrow morning. I'm trying to think what's going on.
Did I say tomorrow?
You made me pause. I was like, you got something tomorrow? Okay. You gave me a slight heart attack.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
You know black men have hypertension, so please don't add to that. We thought it was very significant and striking to wait, because we wanted, in all reality, Mark, for Baltimore to resume business as usual when the cameras disappeared and the uprising was no longer, quote-unquote, the sexy news hour of the day, to say that while the cameras have gone away, the issue still remains. I've reminded people that this isn't a new issue, nor is it an issue that started with me. People have been arguing this from since the O'Malley administration. Tremendous kudos to Pastor Kiba Brown, who was on the front line, has been on the front line of this issue since day one.
Right.
But that we can't make it just go away. That this is something that's got to be dealt with, and in some regard, mission accomplished, because now it's forcing people to discuss it who ordinarily would have just dismissed.
Now, we're going to have that debate in this program, but I remember when Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle and Heber Brown and others, the Algebra Project, were on the front lines to stop this youth jail from being constructed.
Right.
Even then, many of us said it wasn't stopped, it was just stalled. And
right.
And O'Malley didn't do anything about it, but threw it off onto the Hogan administration, who did it. And the argument always has been, what are our alternatives to building the jail to deal with the issues inside that jail? And that's what I think hasn't been addressed. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
here's the issue. Can you imagine? The other argument is that they are in federal violation, but they also mark in federal violation for the status of men in Baltimore public schools who don't even have air conditioning, who don't have working heat. You still are in violation when you would consider how many of our teachers are not certified. We're in violation how many other counties outside of Baltimore and PG give certificates of completion. And so if we're going to pick which one we're going to target and be accountable for, how do we put incarceration over education?
So what is the plan? I mean, so yesterday you effectively shut to make build awareness. You effectively shut down 395 for what, an hour?
Yeah.
Right. But now we're back in the community. So what are the steps now to address the issue, from your perspective, of the construction of this new youth prison?
I think that, let me say very clearly for the record, I don't think in any way, shape, or form should juveniles be incarcerated with adults.
Right.
No way what I'm saying.
Right.
What I am arguing is, if you can find $30 million for a jail, how can you not find $11 million for school? The second part that I want to raise, Mark, is that Governor O'Malley duped the citizenry by saying that if we bring slot machines, it's going to help funding for public schools. Well, for the last three quarters, they've not met their mark. They were projected to meet $40 million a month, and I think now we're at $22 million. And, of course, the very first thing that's cut and hit is the business support for public schools. With 121 Baltimore Public School employees being laid off for budgetary issues, this ought to be a cry everywhere in every hamlet, village, and city to say, how do we, as a quote-unquote first world nation, have as a priority incarceration and as an accessory education? Something is wrong with that.
Well, Reverend Jamal Bryan, I appreciate you jumping out of your meeting to talk a bit about why you were out there yesterday and what the future is going to bring. And I do look forward to having you in studio soon when your time permits to have this discussion in really greater depth about where we go next.
Well, thank you for even giving me a platform to share.
I deeply appreciate you taking the time and jumping out of your meeting for us. Thank you so much, Reverend Bryan.
All right.